This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk and a Sailing Science Spotlight. It's easy to see how a boat sails downwind. The wind pushes on a sail that's kept almost flat, and the boat zips along with the wind behind it. But how does a boat sail into the wind? The secret is air pressure. When a sail is angled into the wind, it curves. Some of the air streams along the inside of the sail, called the windward side, and some of the air streams along the curved outside of the sail, called the leeward side. The air traveling along the leeward side, remember that is the outside of the sail, has a longer way to go than the air on the windward side, the inside of the sail. So the wind on the leeward side has to go faster than the air on the windward side, and the air gets thinned out because it's going faster. When the air gets thinned out like that, the air pressure is higher on the inside, and that makes it a force that pushes the boat a little bit forward, but mostly sideways. If that were the whole story, a sailboat would keep slipping sideways and never get anywhere. But boats have rudders and either a keel or centerboard which extends straight down underneath the boat, and this makes it resist the slipping sideways. The result is that a boat is given a thrust by the wind that is more forward than sideways, kind of like when you push down on a watermelon seed and it shoots forward across the table. You can figure out how a sail works by putting your hand outside the window of a moving car. When you hold your palm open and flat to the wind, your hand will be forced back. This is how a sailboat moves forward when the wind is directly behind the boat and the sail is fully let out. Now, turn the side of your hand toward the front of the car and cup your fingers. As you try out different angles of approach to the wind, you will feel more or less pressure on the palm and back of your hand. That's how changes in the fullness of a sail can change the degree of forward motion created. But you can't sail directly into the wind. That is called the no-go zone, because you don't go anywhere. The sail works best on your typical sailboat when it is at an angle of 45 degrees or so. This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk, and this has been a Sailing Science Spotlight, giving a shout-out to the Physics Department of the University of California at Berkeley.
Bluegrass jam there for a second there. Welcome back to Sports Byline USA. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's Tuesday at 9:40. This is when we check in with SailSportTalk.com. And as always, co-hosting the segment with me is Karen Lyle. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I'm doing great. You know that bluegrass jam, well, that guitar jam was Mimi Fox, and she is a renowned jazz player, and that was actually from an album that I produced.
You produced the album? Look at you.
I did. I produced a Fantasy Records album since about 1985, and when it closed, we did a 2 weeks inside Studio D with 60 musicians, and she was one of them. So some of the music that we get to hear in the interludes and so forth is from that album.
Do you remember Michael Jackson's Thriller album?
Who doesn't, right?
Well, just want to let you know, that was me.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it? Fantastic.
I produced it.
You were the monster? You were the monster?
No, I produced it. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Right on, Rick.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, I said Mary Jean. Why don't you make it Billie Jean, you know? So anyway, I know you wanted to talk about some of the great guests once again we had in 2021 and... Just looking at some of them, Marie Rogers, we had a couple of times, first African-American woman to be a Commodore of the L.A. Yacht Club.
Yes, and then she's also putting together a team being sponsored by an anonymous donor to win, to compete in the Transpac coming up, representing the Native Hawaiian populations and African-American and other people of color. And they've never had an all-people-of-color team in that particular race. And so she is getting the vote and, I don't know, something like $500,000 to put that, to go up for that race. So it's a pretty big endeavor.
We also had Marilyn and Otis Brock, recipients of the PICYA Award, PICYA.
Well, you remember they were talking about the 70-foot cigar boat that flipped and they rescued the people out of the water. One of the things that he didn't say when he was on the interview, but afterwards I talked to him about, was that Otis mentioned to me that this guy broke several ribs and bones in his body. He was just actually thrown right out of the boat when it flipped up. And those things are fast. I mean, I don't know how those guys survived, but it was really great that they were there and able to pull them out of the water by themselves, because it was not an easy rescue.
Captain David Lawson, another guy preparing to race in the Vendée Global. And as I've mentioned many times, when I had Bruce Schwab on my show, 15 plus years ago, and of course from Marin, the first American to do it. And that's a race where you really are on your own for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's very, very taxing. And most of the ships that start off do not finish it.
Yeah, and just the accomplishment in that race, is to finish the race. And Captain Lawson really seeks to level the playing field by making sailing available to people who didn't know it's possible to sail for a living and as a hobby or for glory. And, it's just, oftentimes people don't do things or go into things unless they have an opportunity to be exposed to the concept and go, wow, I could do this. And that's one of his goals. He wants to inspire people to do this.
That's, of course, as I didn't mention, that's a solo race. Does that appeal to you at all? Because I think sailing is a community thing, but I know for some people it's a way to escape other people.
Well, I think everybody has a different personality. It doesn't appeal to me to solo circumnavigate. I really enjoy the camaraderie of having a sailing partner. I like double-handed sailing, and that's what I do primarily. But my dad's a single-hander. He's a power boater, but he's a single-hander. And I never thought of that name until I became a sailor. And then I was with my dad, and I was saying, hey, can I help? Because I know something about it now, right? And he goes, no. And I realized that he has his routine. He likes to do it his way. He's 86, and he's still single-handing a 50-foot powerboat. So
I was going to make a joke about single-handers. I don't want to do that. It was a baseball reference. Let's move on to Tracy Edwards, that documentary Maiden, the captain of the first all-women team to win the Whitbread. Now, the Whitbread is another round-the-world race, but this one is a team sport, and that documentary really got some traction, too.
It did. I think it was put up for a Banff Award, I believe, and she and her producer went all around to speak and were covered widely in the media. I think that was also a race that Geraldine Knox-Johnson competed in, as many, many other well-known and accomplished sailors have done. It was quite an accomplishment for that team to win that race.
Speaking with Karen Lyle, SailSportsTalk.com. Also, the Vendée Pip O'Hare, which sounds like Winnie the Pooh's friend. I love that name.
I know, and she's had 25 years of experience, and I guess this time she's been out there racing and doing things for most of her life, but this particular race, the Vendée Globe that we just were in, she captured the attention of a global audience and really became quite famous as she was racing in that 60-foot yacht nonstop, single-handed, and replacing a rudder underway. It was quite amazing.
Jennifer Woods, speaking of women who have accomplished things, the first woman rear commander of the Royal Thames Yacht Club. It is the oldest Royal Yacht Club in the UK, and I think that what's really cool about the structure of the Royal Thames Yacht Club is that if you are the Commodore, you are technically a blue blood, right?
Right. The current club's Commodore is His Royal Highness Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, and the Vice Commodore is the only, is the elected official. So in that particular club structure, the Commodore is always well, traditionally they say, a member of the royal family. And Earl Mountbatten was a Commodore for 20 years. And patrons are the Duke of Edinburgh, and Prince Charles was the patron of that club. So it's a very old, established club, and I'm really glad to see Jennifer Woods was in that position. When I was in Europe just before the pandemic started, we talked in person at the club, and that's where I interviewed her from.
What about, I remember going to Cambridgeshire, and I went to Cambridge, and they have the Cam, the little river there, and that you get these little boats with a stick, almost like gondolas in Venice, and they call it punting down the Cam. Do you enjoy, like, very basic, should I even call it sailing? Do you just like getting on the water any which way you can?
Yes, I think any size boat is fun on the water. It's just being on the water. I even like swimming and snorkeling and, you know, just, you know, running into the waves in the warmer climes. Water's great.
Chris Childers was with us.
How about you, Drake? I just got to ask. Do you enjoy being on the water you've done it on powerboats, right? And one sailboat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a great swimmer. I've never liked swimming, but I love those Sea-Doos, those, you know, motorcycle things. I think those are one of the funnest things ever invented. And I take ferries a lot. I just took a ferry out to, you know, Liberty Island and Ellis Island a couple weeks ago. And it's always a little bit fun. And my dad was a lieutenant commander in the Navy. And so we grew up back before Clinton closed the bases. We would go to Alameda and go to a carrier or go to the officers club, the Oaks Club on Treasure Island. And so I've always been kind of around it, but I'm not someone who likes the beach because I burn. I'm pale. I'm albino.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I've really tried to do in bringing guests and talking here in Sailsport Talk is that sailing is both power and sail. And it's just something that worthy of note because so much of the world is water. So, you know, I didn't realize, but Rick, you really are one of us. If you're on a ferry boat and you're out there on a jet ski and those things, that's boating. That works.
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a land lubber. But remember, what is the thing that they like to say humans are made up of, whatever, 75% water or something, right?
I think it's 90% water. Yes.
But then we're also told we're electric, so why don't we shock ourselves every second?
I don't know. Chris, well, you know, we were also had Allison Jolly on the show, and she's the sailing coach at the women's varsity team at the University of Southern Florida. And she was inducted into the National Sailing Hall of Fame, you know, and also won that gold medal in the 470 class in the Olympics when it was such a long shot.
Where is the National Sailing Hall of Fame?
You know, that's a good question. I know that they oftentimes have that. There's several yacht clubs in San Francisco. I know yacht club is one of the ones. They might do it at the New York Yacht Club. I'm going to have to look into it. It's usually awarded on the East Coast.
It might be something like, you know, they have the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, and you'll see some plaques at the Shark Tank, and you'll see there's not a building. It's just kind of almost like it lives on a website.
Yeah, it's a relatively new set of awards, and there are several prestigious yacht clubs that have partnered together to make that. But we've been having the fortunate opportunity to interview many of the inductees in our show, but I haven't been to one of their awards ceremonies, but they told me that they would be inviting me this coming year, so I'll tell you more about it after that.
Speaking about sailors who should be in the Hall of Fame, one of the cool things about London is, you know, there'll be those little blue circular plaques that'll be a point of interest. And I love going to the Imperial War Museum in Lambeth, south of the Thames, and the old Bethlehem Mental Hospital. It's where we get the term bedlam from. But across the street from there was this little brick house, and it was the home of Lieutenant William Bligh. And I think about him 4,000 nautical miles in a launch, you know, after Fletcher Christian threw him in there with some other guys with almost nothing to eat, getting to East Timor. Can you think of one of the greatest bits of sailing by the stars with no food, 4,000 nautical miles in a launch, Karen?
That's really hard to fathom.
Ah.
So that was a bad one. Sorry about
pretty
that.
Good.
I can't imagine.
And one last guy to mention, Chris Childers. We've had so many sailors with challenges, blind sailors, what have you. This was a guy part of the Siebel Sailors Program in a prosthetic leg, too.
Right. Well, and we've also had Captain Donald Lawson, who is out there, and also Larry Jacobson, you remember, an openly gay sailor who's got 50,000 ocean miles under his belt. So it's, you know, it's nice to see a diversity of people out there sailing and boating and representing for the people that may not have traditionally thought about sailing as something that they can do.
Yeah, I never thought about that. Like your sexuality, your gender, your sexual orientation, that has nothing to do. I mean, you think about places on the earth where that has nothing to do with. It's all about your ability to sail.
Right, and boat, and just the common love of the water. And I think that's what you find in what I have found in the yachting communities. If you've got skills and you have something that you can talk about, it really doesn't matter where you come from or who you are. You're going to be able to talk to other people who have that same passion. And I think that's true not just in sailing, but in sports of all kinds.
Yes, always for the meritocracy. Karen Lyle, SailSportTalk.com. Great to have you with us, and we'll talk next week.
Okay, sounds great, Rick.
All right.
See you next week.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.